Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning and good to see this number. Good to see everybody. And I'm thankful that you're here. Good to see the Spicers here with us. And make yourself at home. Anybody that's visiting, make yourself at home. It's always good to have visitors, good to see visitors, and it's always good to see our home folks. It's good to see everybody with us. If you will, let's be turning to John chapter number 17. John chapter number 17. And while you're turning there, I just want to say how much I appreciate you. I know this is the day that we've set aside for pastor appreciation to have our fellowship meal. And again, everyone is invited to stay. And I'm thankful for that. I enjoy that. But I want you to know as a church, I really appreciate you and what you stand for. And I was thinking this morning as I was preparing, I'm glad that we're in this together. I'm glad that we are in the Lord's service together. You imagine trying to do the Lord's work by yourself. The devil would like to make you feel that way, Brother Nathan. He'd like to make you feel like you're just one and nobody else is interested or what have you. But I'm thankful for those who are faithful to the house of God and to His call. It's one of those things that as time goes on, I do believe it gets harder. I do believe it can be a lot discouraging at times, but we always need to remember what the mission is and stay focused on the mission. That's what this is about this morning, kind of going back along with what we were doing last week, and I do appreciate the Lord's Prayer being quoted this morning. That takes a lot to do. You get up here and you look out there and you see everybody and you're trying to quote something. That's a lot easier said than done, and I appreciate the time and effort that was put into that, and I think the Lord just added that on this morning. The title is Jesus Prayed. Jesus Prayed. You know, I thought about that a lot. You think Jesus, all God and all man, why would Jesus need to pray? Why would He pray? But when He was in this earthly body, He was setting the example that He expects for you and I to follow. The Lord's Prayer that was quoted this morning, as we call that, as what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer this morning, that is the dialogue or the way that we are supposed to pray, the way the Lord would have us to pray. But you know, this morning, what you'll see here is how the Lord prayed for us. That's something for us to think about and consider. Have you ever asked somebody to pray for you and then them say, yes, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. And then you wonder later maybe how they prayed for you or what they said, but is it not different if you've ever experienced this, if you've asked somebody to pray for you and they stopped and said, let's pray now. And they pray right there for you, they pray right there with you, and you actually get to hear what they say. Have you ever experienced that? Praise the Lord, that's a humbling experience, is it not? It's a blessing and it's also humbling. It's one of the things that I've experienced when I've heard even people here at church pray for the service and mention me and knowing how unworthy I am. It's very uplifting, it's very humbling, and it's very encouraging to me. And now, if you ever thought or wondered what was on Jesus' mind, His mind when He prays for you and I, did you know He prayed for you this morning? Did you know that as a believer, as a child of God, He prayed for you? Do you know He prays for you daily? He makes His intercession for you every single day with what He did on the cross. Did you know that? We have the time and place here, and we'll see this, the time that this is being transcribed here. But it's an amazing thing to think that Jesus Christ Himself is praying for you. And if you want to know what's on His mind, or if you want to know what's on a person's mind, a lot of times you can hear them pray, and it'll tell you a lot about them. It really will. It might be one of those prayers, it's Pastor Appreciation Meal, and I know everybody's hungry, we got to go, and it's a God is good is great kind of prayer. You've heard those. It's kind of fast, and I've been accused before or jokingly said before when you start praying for a meal, maybe you're at a friend's house, they say, will you pray over the meal, and you start praying, and if it takes a little bit longer than what they think, they call it preach praying. You get into preach praying, you're taking too long. But I tell you what, if you really slow down and think and you listen to how people pray, I know it's a very private thing sometimes. It's a very sincere thing to people. It's a very personal thing to people. But if you ever hear people pray, you really learn about how their heart is and what their relationship with God really is, with what Christ is. And I really want us to see that this morning, because When Jesus prayed here, when he prayed for us, he laid it all out there for us. As believers, he knew what we would be facing. He being the first fruits, he knew what he carried in the flesh. And he knowing that he is all God and all man, and he is perfected in that way, he knows how weak our frame is. He knows what we're like. I liken this a lot to a coach and a player relationship. The time that was spent with he and his disciples and how he walked with them during this time, and he showed them. He tried so hard to express to them and to show them, this is how you are to act. This is how you are to be. And he related to them. And Brother Mike, just like was said in Sunday school, and we see through the Gospels, a lot of times they just didn't get it. They weren't listening. But it was time for his departure, and he's leaving the church. He's leaving the disciples, the first people here to carry on the church after his departure. Don't you know he had a burden on his heart? Don't you know that he wanted them to be ready? And you think about the thousands of years, the 2,000 plus years that we're looking at here since his departure, how he wanted this to be carried on, the seriousness of it. And he prayed for believers, and he prayed for the church, and we'll see how this is here. John chapter number 17, I'll try to hurry along this morning and not be too long, but we see here in verses 1 through 5, we see his own glorification. For Christ to carry a part, to be the part that we needed him to be as our sacrifice, he had to be glorified and set apart as God. You see, these people, a lot of times that there was there at that time, some people got it. Some people understood it. Some people just didn't quite grasp it. Again, they wanted to be in the power in the kingdom. They were jockeying for position, if you will, but they weren't seeing the sincereness of what was going on. Talking about this new Jerusalem that would one day come, not the seeing the crown, but all they could see, or not the seeing the cross, but all they could see is the crown. But we see his glorification. He just left off talking to his disciples, and he was getting ready to go into the cross here. This is that hinging point. And as he stopped talking to his disciples, this is what he had to say here. He started praying. He said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes unto heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that thou should have eternal life, as to many thou hast given him, as to many thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God, the Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou hast givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with glory which I had with thee before the world was. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God, that you've given to us. God, I thank you for your word that you've laid before us, prepared for us, God. Lord, I know I'm unworthy to be here. Lord, I know I'm unworthy to do or say anything, but God, I thank you for thinking of me, thinking of us, thinking of the world, God, that you sent your only begotten Son to die for us, God, that we would have a way of salvation. God, I just pray that you be glorified here today. Lord, I just pray that you be lifted up. That's the most important thing here today, that your name be lifted up, that believers could be encouraged, God, that lost people could be saved, that this could be carried on the way that you intended it to be, Lord. Not some kind of show, not some kind of workup of the flesh, God, but just in the Spirit. God, we know it has to be in spirit and truth. God, we pray and we ask this morning. I pray and I ask, Lord, that you just take this message, use it for your glorification. Help us here today, Lord. Help us as individuals and help us as a church, Lord, as we see this prayer that you prayed for us, God. Lord, we thank you so much. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We see his own glorification that he asked for here. We see his high priestly prayer. As the priest would pray before the sacrifice, he had prepared it and he had laid it out. He had had a prayer that he had to pray. We see Jesus Christ here praying this prayer over himself and for himself. You think maybe this might sound a little self-satisfying or gratifying, but what it is for him to be the sin, to take on the sin of the entire world, he had to be It had to be perfect the way that he wanted it to be, the way it had to be before God. And we see his own glorification being prayed for here, the praise, the magnifying, the honor in worship. And I tell you, we really need to see that this morning. If we could really see what hell is like, if we could really see what he saved us from, I believe it would change how we approach church. I know I've said that many times, but I'm telling you, if you really get a hold of it, the Lord really touch your heart and let you see what he has saved us from, it would change our daily conduct, and it would change how we act in church even. But we see these circumstances here. Again, he had left off. The hour had come. The time had come. The Lord's Supper had been prepared and had taken place, and now it's right before the crucifixion to take place, I believe, the next day. We see this here as a family prayer. We also see it as a parting prayer. You see, the disciples didn't understand that, and they didn't see that. But Jesus knew he had to pray. He knew he wanted to get along and pray for these people, that they'd be prepared, that they'd be ready to take on what is going to be taking place. And he knew what was coming. You know, with us, when we pray, we ask for the Lord's will, because we don't know sometimes what his will is or what's going to happen next. We don't know what's going to happen before the end of the service. You know, somebody could accept the Lord today. I pray for that every Sunday. I expect or hope that. But see, we don't know that. But you know, God knows that. Jesus knows that. You think about how Jesus prays and what he knows and how he is asking this. It's a parting prayer, but Jesus knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to the cross, even though his disciples did not understand that. That naivety that they had, he saw that and he knew that, and he sees that in you and I. He knows what you and I are going to face. We don't. You see, but he prays for us anyway. He prays that we be prepared. You know, some of these things we face in life, we don't understand. It might be because Jesus prayed and knew that that would be the thing that helps us for the next thing that we're getting ready to face. You see, you'll see here in just a minute, this is a very specific prayer for believers only. Kind of interesting to think when you're talking about the high priest, the one who died for the sins of the entire world. You see, this is also a prayer of intercession. He's a mediator. He's the mediator between two parties. And what's so nice a lot of times about that mediator between two parties is usually they're friends to both parties. As much as I would like to think, or as much as you might like to think, that we're friends with God without Jesus Christ, we can never be friends with God. He's that mediator. You think about somebody praying for you. You think about having a mediator that can go between two parties that are at variance. Jesus Christ is that only mediator. He's the only one that can do that. Is he not the one that you would want praying for you? Jesus prayed. We see how he prayed for his own glorification. We see how this time, this is a hinging time in history, this time had come. You see how close we are now, I believe, to his second coming. You know, this is another point in time that I see that we are at. If you look at verses 6 through 10, I just have six things, or half a dozen, whatever sounds less to you this morning, that I want to go through. And I'll try to be quick this morning, but verses 6 through 10. We see here it says, I have manifested thy name to the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they are, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. You think about that. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now you see how specific that is. You think that he'll be praying for the world, the lost people this time. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for his people, his believers. For those who are his is who he is praying for. Did you know when he's talking about God giving us to him, he is perceiving us as a gift to him? Now you think about that. There's times, you know, we talk about it being appreciated. which is very important. It'd be a sad thing to not feel like you're appreciated. I want you to feel appreciated this morning. Jesus Christ looks at you as a gift from God. Did you know that? When he's saying this right here, this is who God had given to him. You see, when you're talking about what Jesus did for us, going to the cross, it was an all-inclusive offering. The cross of Christ is the most inclusive symbol you will ever see. It says, whosoever will. The cross doesn't push anybody away. The cross doesn't say you're not good enough. The cross says you can come unto me. Jesus Christ made that way. But you see, he looks at us as a gift. Those that will accept him, those that are willing to accept him. And I tell you, when he went to the cross knowing that not all of us, not all of mankind would accept him, what a blessing it is for all those who do. You know, it'd be easy to do something if you thought maybe you'd have 100% in response, but knowing that not everybody would accept you. Look, Jesus still did that. He always stayed with the mission. You know, I think with me sometimes and with mankind in general, I think we can try things for a while, and if it seems like it's working, we'll stay with it. Is that right? Maybe this is God's will in my life because it's easy or because it's working. And then sometimes in life, it's like, well, this isn't coming as easy as it used to. Maybe God's sending me in a different path, or maybe I'm supposed to do something else, and you go for something else that might make more sense logically or come more natural or come more easy. You ever think about things like that? See, Jesus Christ, his mission was to come to this earth and die for all mankind. That's the mission. You know, his mission never changed. Now, that's the hardest mission that anybody could ever have. But it never changed. He never lost focus. He never lost sight of why he came here and what he came here to do. We'll see this in this prayer. He never lost sight of that. You know, I want us to see this and try to understand this. The day that Jesus Christ saved you, did you know that you entered into that same mission work? Did you know that? That's your mission too. The mission of Jesus Christ is now your mission. To lead people to God, that's what he wants you and I to do. That's what he's called us to do. And these days, these last days, let me tell you, it's not going to get any easier. It's not gotten any easier. In the 12, 13 years I've been preaching, it's only gotten harder. And I don't say that to be negative. I'm just being honest with you. If you look at the Bible is very good about telling you the truth, even if it sounds good or if it don't. But the mission is still the mission. I believe the harder it gets, the closer we're getting to the end. So if there's any kind of benefit or any kind of encouragement to you this morning, I believe we're getting very, very close. What a time to be in the service of God. We're seeing here, he's praying for those. He looks at us as a gift from God. Aren't you glad that Jesus made God known unto you? How important is God's word to you? Let me ask you that. How important is church to you? Learning more about him. How important is that to you? You think about the creator who wrote this book so that we would have it to understand more about him. Is it really that important to you? I'll say it like this. It's kind of a twofold thing. Sometimes I think it'd be easy to say, well, I went to church. I was in church for a while. I got saved. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Now church no longer matters. I'll tell you, I'm hard-pressed to know that if you truly got saved, that that's your philosophy about church. The reason I say that is if you've got the Holy Spirit living down in your heart, there should be a desire that you want to know more and you want to grow in him. I'll just be honest with you. This kind of breezing in and breezing out, that just doesn't work. That's not what God wants for us. If you knew a famine was coming, would you not want to be as close to the food and the power source as you could be? These last days when they get harder, this is where the power source is. In God's house, with God's people around God's word. You see, he is seeing the importance of praying for his people. I was just thinking, I'm just so glad that the Lord showed me his word that I could become the friend of God. Where would I be this morning without him? Where would you be? Would there be any reason to be in church this morning if you didn't know him? I think about that a lot, about the world. The world is a very cold place. It tries to make itself as inviting as it can and as accepting as it can, but it's a very, very cold place. You see, when Jesus came to this earth and he saw what this was and what it was like with all these people he created, he knew before he came, but he walked in this flesh and he saw it. He's like, this is an evil place. That's what he calls it. This place isn't like heaven, praise God. It's not like heaven. Even on our best day, it's not like heaven. But you see, he knew that and he saw that, but he knew that we needed the Word. And Jesus was sent by God that we could see him. And I see this here. It says, all mine are thine and all thine are mine. You see how that intertwines in? Everything that you give me are mine and they're all his. Talk about eternal security this morning. Praise God for that. You see, Jesus saw the importance of that and how he is glorified. We are glorified in him. I'll use that same analogy. I've tried to think of a better way. I don't know how else to explain it, but when you have that coach who has spent this time with his players, with his team, and they're listening and they're taking in what he's saying, they're really grasping it, and when they get put to the test, they perform it the way that the coach would have them to. You know how proud that coach is of them. See, that's how it is with us and the Holy Spirit. That's what he is doing for us today. This is our field. This is our trial time. This is our time of trial. Yet he prays for our protection. Let's look at verses 11 through 16. It says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." Let's stop right there for just a second. You know, the end, when he was on the cross, he said it was finished. What's this prayer mean? He's not went to the cross yet. Again, I want us to see and understand when Jesus prays, when it's God's will, and he's in accordance, obviously, with God, when God says something is going to happen, it is just as good as if it's done. When he's reporting back to the Father here and he's saying what is going to take place, this prayer, even before that it's actually taken place at the cross, his death, he knows that it's coming and it's just as good as if it's ever happened. You see, God has already got every bit of this planned out, start to finish. Where we go is up to us. How what we decide, that is up to us, our choice if we accept him or deny him. But from creation to the very end, he's already got it mapped out and lined out. So when you see Jesus praying here almost seemingly present tense, you'll see that it's because it's already going to happen. And he knows it's going to happen. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I'm come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those who gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I thought that was interesting that was placed there. He's talking about his disciples. You know, some people have asked the question. Some people have asked and they've thought, being that he was a disciple, talking about Judas, do you think he got saved? This here answers that question, no. He did not ever accept Christ. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and they would have hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil, the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, I thought that was interesting too. You know, the very easy thing, I like being together with my family. That would be my prayer, that we would be together. You know, as much as I know the Lord wants us all to be together, you think about the marriage supper of the Lamb, you think about what it's going to be like at the rapture and how that's going to take place, but you see Jesus here, he's saying, I'm not telling or I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. I'm asking that you keep them there. I'm asking that you keep them from evil. I really want us to see here how he is praying for our protection. I think about that a lot. I think about our young people a whole lot. We got a lot of young people here. And I think about our older people. Anything can happen at any age, so I don't say that haphazardly. But you know how important it is to pray for protection for one another? I'm serious. You know how many decisions are made probably in this room every single day of the group of these people every single day? You know how close you are for making a bad decision that can impact the very rest of your life? You think about that. You think about God here. This is Jesus making this prayer. He's praying for our protection. He's saying, I need them. I want them to stay in this world. This is an evil place to be, a cold place to be. But God, I'm asking that you protect them. So you and I, we're the salt and the light of the earth. After Jesus ascended and went back to the heaven, we are now the witness. What kind of witness are we? If Jesus is the example and we're supposed to be a witness like he is, would you say you and I are as a convincing witness as he was? Think about that. That's why we're here. That's exactly why we're here. Brother Mike hit it just in Sunday school. He said, I try to thank God every single day when I wake up and I pray, Lord, thank you for another day, knowing that he left me here for a reason. Did you know we're left here for a reason? I mean, but do we believe that? Preacher, you're saying a lot of the right things, but do we believe that? Are we really trying to lead people to God? Are we really trying to help people? Are we really fulfilling what Jesus prayed here? Are we taking it that serious? You ever ask yourself, you know, you're doing something, you're going through the day and going through whatever, you ask yourself, what are we doing here? Are we really accomplishing anything? I mean, what are we doing here? Are our hearts, are our minds in the right place? Are we really doing what God would have us to do? You ever think about that? You see here, he's praying for our protection. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. He's asking that we stay in the world so we can be the light of the world. That's what Jesus was for us. That's how we became to know him. But he asked to keep us from evil. There's so much evil out there. So much that a person could get tangled in, our testimonies get wrapped up in just one bad decision. Jesus, again, knowing our frame, prays and asks for us. He asks for our help. We see here verses 17 through 19. We see the believer's sanctification. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify, that means to cleanse or purify. And I've heard it said this way a lot too. It's to be set aside for sacred service. You know, when you're trying to lead people to Christ, if you don't have a believable testimony, if I don't have a believable testimony, they're not going to listen to us. You know, the word of God is what cleanses us. That's how we are cleansed. That's how we're protected from the world. And how we're cleansed from the world is by the word of God. He's praying for our sanctification. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. As thou hast even sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through truth, the truth. See, Jesus Christ, he kept himself a perfect. He's a perfect being. All God and all man, he had to be a perfect sacrifice. He kept himself cleansed. He kept himself purified. You know, he was tempted. By all points, as we've been tempted, he was tempted. You know, when Satan came after him, Satan tried to go after Jesus at his weakest point. Now, I want to tell you this morning, that's exactly what he's going to do with you. That's exactly what he's going to do with me. When you feel like you're discouraged, when you feel like you're down, or when you feel like the world's against you, when you feel like, why am I even doing this? Lord, what's going on? Does it even matter? Does it even matter anymore? That's when the devil's going to come along and say, hey, you just do this. Do this. Try this. Young people, really listen to me. I've got friends I love. Friends that sometimes even go to church that will tell me outside of here, outside of work, I'm pretty much an alcoholic. I've had friends tell me that. People I love. You know, that's how they say they cope with things. See, let me tell you something, church. When you got Jesus Christ in your heart, that doesn't mean the world's going to be easy, but he's got a coping mechanism. It's called the Holy Spirit. He can help you. See, he's praying for our protection. He's praying for help. You say, I don't know, I'm just kind of floating along. Well, how close do you want to be to God? What do you want your relationship to be like with him? Christ never lost sight of the mission. He's praying that we be sanctified, that we be set apart For the very reason for him to be the sacrifice we needed, he had to be perfect. And the Bible tells us, he says, be ye holy for I am holy. He's asking that we try to be like him, that we follow him, that we be set apart. There needs to be a difference. People need to see a difference in you and I, or they're not going to listen. They don't listen to the gospel. Verses 20 through 23, as I hurry along here, it says here, he's praying for the believers' unity. How important that is. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. Not just those that have accepted you now, accepted him, accepted Christ now, but those that will come down. That's you and I. That's the rest of the church. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, that was the difference with Jesus and any other teacher, any other person, him being the only begotten Son of God. If you really see, and I want us to see this, there's a lot of times when I read the Bible, and when people would ask him if he was the Son of God, he would say, thou sayest. I'm like, why didn't he just tell him? Why didn't he just out and out tell him? Well, it's kind of like this. It's like easy for you and I to say I'm a Christian. You know how easy that is? We do it on Facebook all the time. I mean, it's easy. You make a post and you feel like, man, I've done something, or look at this. You know, you set that perception. It's easy to say I'm a this or I'm a that. See, Jesus wasn't about talking. He was about showing. He would say, thou sayest. Again, servant leadership or leading by example. He'd be the one that he would show you. He didn't use his mouth like that. He always glorified the Father. But he always led by example. He always lived it out. He always wanted to see our unity. Father art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, as the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Again, talking about that unity, that we work together. We all believe as one. You see this right here. This is what was on Jesus' mind before he went to the cross. This is what was most important to him. This is what should be most important to you and I this morning. Verse 23, it says, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. When you're talking about understanding or accepting God or accepting Jesus, you have to know that he was sent by God. If you look at other religions, faiths, or what have you in the world, they don't believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. See, he's talking about this here, this very thing. He's saying they have to know that you sent me. They have to know that I'm the only begotten Son. Lord, help them to see that. Is what he's saying here. And to see that unity, that they are one. You believe in God, believe also in me. It shows his deity and who he is. I'm closing it here. The believer's unity. Last thing, number six, the church to behold his glory. Talking about the church. Verse number 24, it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. He's talking about those that had accepted him up to that point. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. He's talking about that the love of God would remain in the church. You know how imperative and how important that is? I think sometimes, I'm going to close with this. Lord kind of laid a couple of different things on my heart, but I didn't really feel led to preach the other message, so to speak, but the condition of our hearts. You know how easy it is to be callous today? We have so much going on in our own personal lives and everything that's going on. It talks about that the love waxing cold at the end of time. I tell you, I think I see that taking place. It's easy. We get wrapped up in things. It's easy to get calloused. It's easy to kind of pass things off. But I tell you what, church, I pray and ask that God never let our hearts get calloused. Never let our hearts get cold. That's an easy thing to do. That's somebody else's to deal with. That's somebody else. That's this. That's the way the world is set up now. Somebody else will handle that. That's somebody else's responsibility. That's not my responsibility. God has clearly outlined the responsibility of the church in His Word. And I tell you, it's important that if we don't have the love of Christ in us and keep that in us, we're hurting. That's a cold place to be. I'll end with that, and I'll ask if you will to stand with me this morning.